On this week's show, Training the Future of Construction with Susan Bratberg from Global E-Training.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the Contech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in Contech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's Contech Crew time.
All right, we're back. The show's live. Here we go. Nathan Wood, back at the wheels with me. How you doing, my man?
Oh man, I'm hanging in there. Wishing there was more snow. I've enjoyed the warmer weather, but need more snow so I can get back up there with you.
Well, yeah, I went out this week. It's a little thin, but I'm not going to complain. It's still not the end of December, and we've got a lot of slope open here, so. Out skiing and then, you know, get a little holidays coming. So it's going to be nice. And we have a special guest with us. Susan, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, I'm excited to have. We've gotten to chat a couple of times. I'm really excited to kind of dive in. So let's get into the interview.
Sure. Well, first, I should tell you, we have lots of snow here. So if you're looking for snow, come to Canada.
Well, where
in
Canada?
I live in the Canadian Rocky Mountains.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the Contech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more.
So where in Canada? So you're Canadian Rocky Mountains, but give us a little where. You know, we've got Tanis out there on Vancouver Island. So that's that's pretty far out there.
Yep, I know Tanis. I'm inland. So I'm just outside Calgary by Banff National Park. So I can see the Rocky Mountains out my window now.
See, all right. You're already
with that dry
snow.
Already,
yeah, she's already after my heart here. So you knew this was gonna be a fun episode. Give everybody sort of an idea of, you know, who you are and, you know, how you got here. And we'll get into some of the ideas and thoughts that you have on construction and construction tech.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm a founder and chief customer officer of Global E-Training. And Global E-Training, we just celebrated our 16th birthday this year at Autodesk University. That's where we launched 16 years ago. So we have a birthday party there every year. So it was a pretty wild party this year for those of you that were there. And so we've done a lot in the last 16 years. Global E-Training is a spinoff of our other college that we still run in Canada. It's called Digital School. It was formerly the Alberta School of Drafting. We think it's about 40 years old. It's obviously older than me. Or started it when I was a baby. My family acquired Digital School. So a lot of people are wondering, how the heck did you get into the AEC industry? And that's how it started. And so Digital School is an Autodesk authorized training center. And we have accelerated programs for architecture, engineering, and construction technology. And people can get what in the US, it would be like a associate degree program. And it's accelerated. And people from all across Canada and even international students were really interested in our program because it is accelerated. They get a job more quickly. But at that time, it was located in Edmonton, which is even colder and a lot more snow. So for those people that had heard of Edmonton, they said, well, we don't want to go to Edmonton. It's far too cold there. Do you have anything online? And that was the catalyst of how Global E-Training started. We became the first private college in Canada to get licensed to deliver online training. And so we've been doing that for 16 years. And that's when we launched Global E-Training because we developed some courses initially for Digital School. And we started with our first course was AutoCAD. Back in those days, Autodesk told us, you could never teach anything online. It's only ever going to be instructor-led. But now we're one of their largest training partners. So everything is quite funny. It comes back through 60. And we said, well, why don't we start licensing some of these programs and we'll sell it to other education institutions and companies for their corporate training programs. And then it got really big really quickly. So now Global E-Training is truly global. We've got learners in over about 150 countries. So yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have seen this, the progression from instructor led, highly intense, sitting in the room together to now this digitally disparate and kind of learn from anywhere, learn at your own pace process. What were some of the, I mean, and you had Autodesk telling you, and probably others, I would imagine, telling you, oh, you're never going to train people this way.
Yeah.
and obviously not being correct. Like we kind of all know, you know, there's completely online colleges now and mm-hmm. You know, online primary education as well. So, yep. But what were some of the early hurdles that, I mean, we can all understand some of the technical ones, but what were some of the early hurdles that you had to get over that kind of surprised you and might still be a surprise?
Well, I guess what we do now is very mainstream. We are 100% virtual company, and we always have been. So back, you know, 16 years ago, and trying to explain to people we're a virtual company, that had never been heard of before. You know, we're hosting webinars. People were joining us on the very first webinar. Like, this is how far back it goes. And then trying to explain the concept of online training. So it's a whole different industry now. And I really think it was accelerated by the pandemic. That was just this whole global experiment, and it showed people can work online, they can learn online, they're very capable. And so we don't have those conversations anymore. So people are really, really embracing it. And it's not a nice to have anymore, it's a must have. You know, so this new generation in the workforce, they don't want to wait to go to a class that starts in a week or a month. They want instant answers now. So we can help provide that. And for companies that are wanting to attract and retain top talent, which of course everyone is, we can help with that.
That's awesome. I think one question that comes to mind, because I think when we were first talking about this, when we first met, you know, the idea of Zoom and virtual, like, interactive training, what wasn't even really possible. And it was really only the kind of click through training and the self-paced training, which is obviously a huge lot of it. But are you now in this day and age kind of like, is there such a thing as like office hours, or like kind of incorporating both the interactive in person? It is virtual, but virtual live versus, yeah, like virtual self-paced.
That's my favorite way to do it. We call it blended learning. So cool. That's the combination of synchronous and asynchronous. So everything Global E-Training does is interactive asynchronous training. So it's on demand. So people can learn at their own time and their own pace, their own learning style. And it does work that way out of the box. And they like it because, you know, if it's middle of the night and you're working on a project, you need it in your pocket, in your back pocket, right? I like to recommend that you do blended learning, which really elevates an instructional expert or subject matter expert. And so you can, you know, have a webinar that which is synchronous, like we are right now, we're at the same time and place. Or it could be in person. And if you have those opportunities, I think take them. You don't need to do boring picks and clicks training, because that nobody's paying attention and nobody's going to retain it, right? So it just elevates that in-person opportunity to talk about strategic things, you know. So is it, you know, how do you apply real skills to real projects, or really elevate that expertise of that subject matter expert? You know, and it elevate them, not, you know, bring them down to the most boring elements that people are more than capable of learning at their own time and place in their preferred learning style.
Well, you hit on a couple of things. And you did do a good job of it, kind of explaining that whole idea of asynchronous and synchronous.
Yeah.
And how do you, are there areas where you decide that, like, it doesn't sound like, but the asynchronous is just not going to work. Like, it's, we need some sort of, I like, Nathan, I'm going to pick on you for this one. I like this. It was virtual in person. There is such a thing as that now, right? Yeah. There is virtual asynchronous learning, which is, I think, what people think of when they think of virtual. Is that's like, I can just go to the site, I can get what I need, I can stream it when I want to stream it, and that's, you know, asynchronous is when I want. And then there's in-person or virtual in-person, which is where we're doing this. We're sitting down together, and we couldn't record this podcast separately of one another because it wouldn't work. There'd be no flow to it, there'd be no feeling to it. So how do you guys decide and implement and use that blended learning to amplify what the students are getting.
Yeah. Well, I think one, it's optional because a lot of companies, they don't have the ability to bring everybody together at the same time, but they need a lot of people to know what they're doing quickly before a project starts. So we do a lot of project-based training. So it's sort of in three ways, we would say blended learning. So one, you could do your asynchronous interactive online on-demand self-paced training as pre-training, as prerequisite. So before you come to my workshop, for example, whether that's online or in person, I want you to do these modules. And that's great because it gives the subject matter expert visibility, or the instructor, if you will, visibility into who knows what, you know, so who might need a little extra support, who needs some more challenges. So they're getting a lot more insight than they typically would, just because someone sitting in a classroom does not mean that they are paying attention. So, and it doesn't mean that they know what they're doing. So it gives the instructor a lot more insight. And then we also like to recommend you use it as a blended learning tool in the class. So especially for our customers that they might have multiple instructors teaching the same course, it gives them some consistency. It gives them some fun multimedia tools to use to make their class more dynamic and, you know, exercises and examples. You know, I'm sure you've all been in a class and the teacher is starting to get boring and like people start nodding off and it's like, that's time for an activity, right? So that's a great blended learning tool. And then the most important thing is after the fact. So after the fact, then people can take they're not going to remember it all from the classroom, but if they need to refresh it, you know, a few months down the road, then they can have it as a refresher and then immediately apply those skills to projects. And then that, the actual asynchronous component itself can be recorded, and documents that are used in that class, whether it's videos or PowerPoints or whatever, can be added into the asynchronous component later. Because what happens if someone was sick that day, or what happens if they join the next week? It's a way for them to get up to speed really quickly.
Yeah, I like that idea, because I feel like in today's day and age of AI and even just like Zoom recordings and the transcribing and everything you can do, like there's so often where you might have learned something 6 months ago, but really when you need to do it, you're like, oh crap, like where was that in the training? And like having the ability to search and like find that spot. Is that stuff you're getting those requests or adding that sort of functionality to go back and find certain things?
Oh, sure.
Pick apart?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the strategy on that?
Well, so everything with Globally Training is run on the learning management system. So companies can either use our learning management system, and usually small and medium-sized companies will use ours. And then medium to large companies typically will have their own learning management system. That's another change we've seen recently, is more and more companies have gone out and bought a learning management system, and they're really trying to embrace this online training. Now they're trying to figure out how do they optimize it. So it doesn't matter to us which learning management system someone's on. Our content will integrate seamlessly to any company's learning management system. But the individual learner will access the courseware that way. And then everything is tracked, but it also is searchable. So with Globally Training, they literally would do the equivalent of a Google search, and the relevant material will pop up. We also have a cool plugin. So for your project software, like your Autodesk software, like Revit, for example, or Navisworks or whatever it may be, when you're in your actual project, there's a plugin and you can search that and the relevant material will pop up. And we're always encouraging companies to make it as tailored as possible to be company and project specific. So even that specific material will pop up. So you learn, you know, the exact company and project specific workflows and best practices.
That's really awesome. It's meeting them right where they are.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested, you know, you've been through this process now and watched learning change.
Yeah.
What are some of the things, I mean, because it is a snooze fest, and you said it's not a, I mean, it can be. Listen, the training can be a snooze fest.
No, Jeff, come on.
Training can be a snooze fest. Let's just be honest. I mean, you know, whether you're making them sit through videos or whatever, what are some of the things you guys have learned had to change? Because you mentioned it, that it's like, it's not just, you know, click through it and you're done, you know, because we know how that works these days. So what were some of those challenges? What are some of the things you guys have had to do to overcome that and make it something so people are learning? Because I think that is one of the reluctancies to people changing.
Yeah, for sure. I think you're right. We had a problem statement. We were talking about design thinking earlier. And our design thinking problem statement was, how do you replicate the best classroom experience online? So that's what we're constantly trying to achieve. And people need to stay engaged. We know people have very short attention spans. They want information now. They want to immediately apply it, but they have short attention spans and they're very busy, you know, especially in the AEC industry. They're very, very busy. So if it's not like available in a second, they're onto something else. So we need to be faster than literally walking down the hallway and asking your colleague. So we need to be faster, more efficient than that. Because if you think about that, that's actually really a waste of time when you take two people off productivity when you have a question. There's a lot of downtime there. So we need to be faster than that. So what we've done is we've built interactivity right in our courseware. So it forces engagement. And our learners say they really like it. We've actually... It is all the learning styles, so visual, audio, read, write, kinesthetic, which is hands-on. And it works for all learning styles, including people with like learning disabilities or neurodivergent learners. At Autodesk University, I was talking to one of these students and she confided in me that she has ADHD and she's an engineer. She's done a lot of training, but she said it was the first time she's ever felt that she's really truly learned. And so it was quite an emotional conversation. But I think that we've proven the fact that people can learn and retain and apply the skills because of the learning methodologies that we've built into the platform. So they can read, they can listen, they can watch, they can try, they can test their competencies, they can get instant feedback, and we're making it really efficient for them. They could even do like a skills competency test, and then based on what they get right and wrong, it spits out a custom learning path for them. So that just, you know, this... it might say Jeff needs to take 10 hours of training and Susan needs to take 20 and Nathan needs to take 5, you know, and that's fine. At the end of the day, who cares how much time we spent? And even if it's assigned me 10 hours of training, you know, it might be the same 10 hours. Everybody has their own unique way that they learn. At the end of the day, we want to promote competency. You know, so if it takes me 12 hours to do it and it takes Jeff 8 hours to do the same course, who cares? We want to make sure people know what they're doing. And so we can track that people are learning, retaining, applying their skills, and that we can actually track and prove too that we're driving adoption of technology, which is huge. So if you think about the money that companies are spending on technology, and I've talked to lots of companies and they're paying lots of money on technology. I'm sure you guys have even more insight than me. A lot of them don't have a plan on how to effectively drive adoption of that. So it's really important.
Yeah, you got me thinking about this whole balance between, you know, I'll put on my devil's advocate hat and the ADHD expedient one in me, you know, wants to just find an answer really quickly to a technology of like, I'm going to search through it and find out exactly how to do something.
Yeah.
But maybe I didn't learn why it was important or what things needed to be in place ahead of time. And so it's like, yeah, there are certain guardrails, I think, that need to be in place within these, which I'm sure is what you have established or what you're you allow companies to create, but it's just, yeah, sort of this kind of larger, for those out there that can learn on their own, or I'm sure you eventually give flexibility, you know, once they've gone through the courses to then go back and search through them.
Yeah.
But that, it's like almost, you can find where it is, but hey, if you haven't done A, B, and C, you can't really learn D yet.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, is that level of, I call it governance, but I don't know what, like the rule setting and stuff, like how much power do you give to, I guess it wouldn't be an IT director, it'd be like probably a HR or a learning director. Yeah, like is that a customizable platform or how does that work?
Well, it's interesting. You're talking, is it IT or learning and development? And I really think we're the bridge between IT and learning and development. And a lot of times they don't talk a lot, typically. This question, who runs training and who runs technical training? Is that the tech team or the learning and development team? And I think it needs to be a hybrid. Technology teams need to run the program that's going to drive adoption of their technology and see the return on investment on the technology adoption. They're the subject matter experts. They know the technology. Their processes and workflows are changing. The technology is changing. So it is in my perspective, it is a technology area that we work with. And then we work with the learning and development teams because they need to see the company-wide training metrics, which are crucial for them. So The answer is we work with both of them, and mm-hmm. they have lots and lots of ability to customize and control and have reporting. And it really depends on the intention of what the course is. You know, so if it's like a certification course that can be very locked down and you have to finish it in a certain amount of time and get a certain score, or is it a resource? And if it's a resource tool, then it's searchable and you immediately like learn, do a small tutorial and then immediately apply those skills. So it can be either or both.
Look at that, Nathan. Sense. We found another place where
that's a new one. Certification versus resource. I'm all about arranging in words and different things. I hadn't put those two together before. I like that.
Mine was IT and another
learning and development.
Another mm-hmm. department not talking to one another.
Oh, that never happens.
We're so focused usually on the tech side, right? And so it's like operations and IT not talking to each other, or the mm-hmm. BIM and VDC not talking. So we've got another one that's not talking, which I think, honestly goes to why IT is such a key to the fabric of an organization, but mm-hmm. also why it's really important for at least members of that IT team to understand the business. Mm-hmm. And because you hit on another one, Susan, the level of adoption that we actually see in technology and its deployment across the industry is really low. And it goes to a number of things. It's funny because I, Nathan, at some point in a design thinking workshop thing, we'll have to do the tree and the roots and the symptoms and see if we can figure this out. But like, you know, I always thought a lot of this had to do with not understanding the workflows up front, not understanding the people that were going to use the technology, not understanding the processes and the workflows that they had. And so poor software was being selected.
Mm-hmm.
Or poor is the wrong word, right? Like the software was good for something, but it doesn't actually fit what you did. So it really didn't matter how good it was. You know, it wasn't what you needed. But now we've, in a lot of cases, gone through that process of solving that. But now what you're saying is, oh, because we always had an implementation plan, but I will be honest, the training plans that we had were never very good. So it's really interesting
because they're too linear, and projects aren't linear. And that's what I wrote down here. Back to this certification, people on listen can't see this, but there's a resource circle, and then outside the resource circle is your certification circle. Because whether it's accounting, whether it's BIM, whether it's project management, there are all these different things where you could do a lot of different things and you need to search within that resource to go get it. But there's probably like a certain minimal, like, hey, in order to not break this, you need to know these things. So you need to be certified in order to get access to the resource. So it's like, yeah, anytime you want to be within a resource, you need to go through the certification to get access to that resource of learning management. And that's almost like an IT strategy of like giving access based on certifications for accounting, for BIM, for project management, for whatever. And if you don't have the credential, you don't get access to the resource.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we're working with a lot of companies now. It is a very new concept. And I want to challenge listeners to think about project-based training. Mm-hmm. And so everything is so siloed. I'm sure you see it on the industry all the time. But it's like one department of one company. And even if they do company-wide training, it will be just one company. But if you think about a project team, it's so many different stakeholders from multiple companies, and you're all working together and collaborating. And if nobody's been trained, how the heck these projects run is amazing. But even if one group's been trained, you're kind of like as strong as your weakest link, you know? And so what we're able to provide is project-based training. And in the cases where we've done this, you know, our customers say, wow, that project ran so much more efficiently when people knew what they were doing. And it's such a simple concept. You don't think it's not rocket science, but it's true. And then, you know, everyone in this industry is all about the data and the analytics and, you know, the big I in BIM. And so they're, you know, the projects have so much data and analytics, but they're running blind on their people. They don't know who knows what. And how are they managing resources, and how are they making sure that things are efficient and that there's no downtime and rework? And now it's getting into the legal, you know, so if you're getting into integrated project delivery, you need to show that people are competent to be on that project if you don't want to be liable. So we're giving companies that opportunity to have that proof. And it's not just sitting in a class. They sat in a class. They went to a webinar. Did they learn anything? You don't know. So we're giving that analytics and that tracking and that proof.
Well, and to take it even further, like the platforms that we're using in our industry are growing exponentially, right? And they can do so much for so many, which at many times means it doesn't even matter if you've used it before. Yeah. If you're not comfortable in understanding how it's going to be applied to this project, right? Like,
yeah.
You just said IPD, right? So in the integrated project delivery mindset, we're all in this together. Well, yeah. They're growing and we love it, but they're not all of them. And in many of them, we have to work in silos and these things have to go through particular processes. So just because I'm comfortable with how it's used in general, project base is how it's used on this project in this
specific workflows. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because this came up this summer. There's a software out there called Scribe How.
Okay.
That actually does something similar. Like you can build your standard operating procedures and then it's a plugin that, you know, when they're using it, they can go there and it will give you your standard operating procedures, how we use this tool. Right.
Okay.
So, cool. You guys are doing sort of that same piece from an education perspective for a project team to be there and led and how we can use it and how we can search it. So it's funny that we're now seeing that make its way into the piece. And it's funny because you can say like, oh, great, you're certified. So you're certified in this XYZ product.
Yeah.
So when you sit down for this project team overview, we're probably going to let you skip through a few things. Well, hopefully we're going to test you along the way. Just make sure, you know, the skills are still up to date, but we're going to let you get to some of the meatier stuff quicker and good to go. And I think that's going to be really good for project teams to level set. I mean, Nathan, a lot of what you were talking about for kickoffs of project teams is all about everybody being on the same page. And I can remember, it was Terry Wong from Excel Construction when I was talking to her, and Terry said, yeah, we do teaming, but like you have to bring up the technology at some point. It's not what you lead with, but we have to get it out there on the table that this is how we're going to move about the project.
I'm curious, Susan, how things have progressed, because I know I've talked to other folks that do this sort of LMS within construction, and that's always been this kind of holy grail or Pandora's box of like solving project specific training and building out a project specific onboarding and kind of how that would work. I'm curious how far that's got along, because I can see in this whole path of people, process and technology, right? Like you bring the right people together at the project team to essentially develop the process of how they're going to exchange certain information, their RFIs, their submittals, their change orders, whatever. Or BIM, you know, workflows otherwise. But then that last piece is okay. And then what tools, what technology are you using for it, which then unlocks, you know, the information you need from an LMS standpoint to go, here's the, you know, custom ordered training that you need as this role doing this activity using this tool.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, you need to have that kind of structured Rolodex of all those different what ifs so that they're just answering those three questions of who, you know, what or what technology and how they're doing it. How close are we to that? Cause I can like see it in my head, but I feel like that's still a long ways away, but
I think we've nailed it. We've got,
That's awesome.
It's taken time. and we're very customer centric. So like our customers are our best source of our innovation, and they're giving us tons of ideas, and we're using our products in real projects, and they're saying, well, we need this or we need that, or what if it could do that? And we make it happen for them. So I think
that's awesome.
We call it the 80-20 rule for content. So we're really working on developing as much industry specific content, like training content, so that they can repurpose it. And so maybe we can only get to that 80%, because once you get past that, then it's company specific, project specific, discipline specific. So it doesn't come in a box. And so what we're trying to do is make it as easy as possible for companies to customize the training and to make it their own and to actually customize it to the level of like each project and each discipline. And the way we do it, we actually have a patented tool called the Generator. So a lot of companies think we're just a training company, but we're actually a technology company with this patented technology. And so it's drag and drop technology. So you will pull in the modules you like of Global E-Training, and then you can add your own. We have AI-powered course creation. So again, just gets you, it's the fastest way to create training. So it will just prompt it and it will write outline for you or even fill in text. We need subject matter experts to vet it and add their own company specific workflows and processes. And in a lot of cases, they have it. Like you talked about, you know, they have a workflow already developed, but how do you teach that? How do you track that people actually know that? So they can use a lot of this pre-existing material, whether that's videos, whether that's PDFs, whether that's PowerPoint. So you can literally drag and drop that kind of stuff into an interactive trackable SCORM format. And then what the unique piece is so we'll talk about a company, they'll have like a project master course, and then they'll have their child courses underneath, and they'll have a course, a, you know, a project A, project B, project C. If they update the parent course, it will automatically update all the child courses under it. And if we update our content, so for example, maybe they're using a Revit course or one module. They don't need all of Revit. They just need one module of how to do one task in Revit. And we made it an update because we're keeping our stuff up to date. They don't need to worry about that. It will instantly push out to all of the learners, no matter what learning management system they're on. So the content can always be up to date. And any other tool in the world, the reason they're not doing it is because if you had that hierarchy and you had an update, you'd have to update it three times. And then you'd need to go to your learning and development manager and say, hey, we made an update. Can you update this course, please, in the learning management system? And maybe 6 months down the road, you'll be done. But by that time, it's too late because the project's over and the technologies and has changed and the workflow's changed. So this way, it's just always up to date.
I mean, that is one of the biggest problems with training data and training information as it is and schooling as it is. Right. Like I laugh about this and talk about it quite a bit, but it's like anything you learn in school right now is already out of date, because by the time it gets to instruction, it's gone already. Right. It's changed by the time you get to the workforce. So,
And it's getting faster. Like it's accelerating at the speed that this is changing.
Yeah. And what was hot today is not hot tomorrow. It's not actually everybody's like, oh, you know, why are you bagging on it? I'm like, I'm not bagging on it, actually. Like, I remember at a time when a VHS tape of a recorded safety video was hot. Why? Because that beat this piece of paper and reading what might happen badly on a job. And now we have video of somebody doing it. And now we all think that's hilarious and old. It's just the speed of change that we need to keep up with. And it's really cool to see that kind of hierarchy and that kind of structure to keep pushing things down, because that is one of the things that holds companies back from almost anything, including technology itself. Is it's like, well, by the time I get it up and running, you always tell me it's outdated.
That is a major problem that most companies experience right now. and then it's common.
Yeah. And I know we've talked considerably about Autodesk, and I actually want to get, before I let you go, get you know, kind of a view of your own 16 years at Autodesk. That is a cool picture that I want to grab. But you're not just Autodesk products, right? And it's something that I think is critical, because you know, from the seat I sit in, I say this a lot, and Nathan, you know, has started an entire 501c3 to focus on this. Is like, it's going to take us all to do this. Right. Sorry, everyone, but none of you get to win. It's absolutely impossible. It's never going to happen. And actually, in my personal opinion, we're fighting over an echelon that kind of already gets it. And so we're feeding off of each other in this area where if we could expand this out further, like all of them get to win, the Autodesks, the Procores, the Oracles, the Trimbles, the Nemechecks, they all get to win, right? If we stop fighting over scraps, in my opinion, even though they're the best tasting scraps, right? Because they're the Skanskas, the DPRs, the McCarthys, the don't let me forget any of the good ones out there if I am, the PCLs, I got to go up into your world, right? Mortensons of the world, you know, these really forward-thinking contractors, right, that are driving us forward. But you're more than that. So talk about how, you know, just give, let people know a little bit more about the depth.
Yeah, so I can't agree more. So when we talk about like BIM, it obviously it's software agnostic. That's what true BIM is all about. We have a lot of actual BIM content. And one of the things we've been helping a lot of companies do is, you know, leapfrog into BIM. They're saying, okay, we can't do the Hollywood BIM anymore. We can't just say we're doing it and then try to figure it out on the fly. We actually have to know what we're doing. So we've been helping a lot of companies do that. So we've got a lot of BIM theory training, what is, and, you know, even like your global BIM standards, like your ISO 19650 and everything like that. And then on the technology side, of course, Autodesk is a major player. That's been our backbone as being an Autodesk authorized training center. But by all means, we've got lots and lots of other products. And whenever we have a customer say, hey, we need training on a different software tool, we want to give them the opportunity. Use the right tool for the job. Don't just use the tool that you happen to have or happen to know about, because we're taking that barrier away. We're making it, you know, the fastest way to learn and apply skills. So use the right tool. And then that we take the onus, you know, we need to make the training. If it's an industry agnostic, I guess, if it's a company specific workflow, then that's on the company, right? Then we work with them and we help them build that. But if it's something that the whole industry will benefit from, then we want to make it. I love the opportunity to work directly with software companies because they know their product best. And so I welcome any software company to put their training on our platform and will help drive adoption of the technology. We're growing. Like
my brain's starting to spin. Yeah, like I'm wondering what is the future of like a really truly AI driven customized training where like, yeah, you've got this out of the box, but then you fill in a few of these project specific answers and now you've got this nice curated training, but it's very, very specific to exactly what you're doing and exactly your project and numbers and whatever. Like, man, that would be so cool. I feel like we're not that far away from that.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well,
we got to set up a time for a demo then.
Because that's the critical component, right? That's the thing that AI does well, right? It doesn't create the training. It's never going to do that for you, right? It doesn't understand how to teach, right? But it can help you find the parts and pieces that fit the map that you've just created in your own little choose your own adventure, based off of high quality. And what do most companies say is like, well, that training's just not fit to the way I do it and the way we do it. And it's like, well, actually it can be made that way. And you hit this a few times and I want to drive it home. Like the key to technology success is the level of adoption that you get. And that level of adoption is critical because, you know, you're using AI to build the training, right? If you didn't have the training to use the tool to build it, it's useless. The same is true for everything else with AI. You have to have those things in order to feed it, to train it, to do more with it. So adoption of your products, adoption of anyone's products out there in the technology space is the critical component to driving a strategy forward, right? So cool to see somebody doing that. Before I let you go, I want to know, like, in 16 years of being at Autodesk and AU, I can't imagine that. I've only been in the business for 10. And I did Autodesk for quite a few years in a row. And, well, ouch. AU's huge. It's just huge. I mean, it's no offense to Autodesk, right? I loved when they did the construction specific side because it was a little more palatable. It was like a tapas version of Autodesk for me. But, What have you seen? What are the big changes? What excites you now that after 16 years, you threw such a big party? Because you threw a heck of a party this year.
We did. Yeah, it was great. Well, it was sort of a bit of a relaunch for us because it closed for a few years, obviously, in the pandemic. And then it was a bit of a slow start. So we had a smaller presence there. And personally, I didn't go for a few years. I was on mat leave. So that was, I took a nice little break from travel. So now I am back on the... going to events, but I'm being a lot more choosy than I used to. I used to be at every event. Now I pick and choose, but Autodesk is a big one. And we went big this year. Autodesk itself went big this year. And people are just really excited to be back in person and learn the latest and the greatest. It was a different atmosphere, a lot more elevated conversations. You know, it's not just, you know, I would say Autodesk 16 years ago was a lot of users, you know, your CAD technicians. And now it's, you know, CIOs are there as well as in the users, but it's there to talk about, you know, innovation and driving adoption of the technology, not just the picks and clicks.
I think that's a great, you know, just show of the transformation, right? I think I've heard that now. I've done a couple of these recap shows and we've heard that, like the elevated level of it's not, can it be used and how do we use it?
Yeah.
It's now, how do we turn and innovate with it, change our businesses with it, and really truly leverage it to its potential. So,
yeah.
Well,
it's fun.
Susan, it's been awesome to sit down with you. Tell people where they can go learn a little bit more about you. You know, the global e-trainer who can actually talk about the big I in BIM to me is interesting. So I think people are going to want to go find out more about you.
Cool. Yeah, just go to globaletraining.ca. So CA stands for Canada. So globaletraining.ca. And you'll find all of our information. You can book an online demo, sign up for one of our webinars. But I recommend book a demo and then we'll do a custom walkthrough. And talk about your specific, you know, technology adoption goals and how can we help you achieve those.
That's so cool. Nathan, yeah. You got to love that, right?
Oh, man. I always thought the CA was C-E-H. C-A.
Yeah.
But no, I love all you guys, what you guys are doing and excited to set up that demo. That's really cool stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
And thank you for tuning in today to geek out for our interview with Susan Bradford. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.